Chapter 36. The sound of distant church bells wakes me. It is Christmas morning. The house is quiet as a morgue. Father and Tom are still asleep after our long night, and Grandmama has chosen to stay in bed as well. Only the servants and I are awake. I dress quickly and quietly and make my way to the carriage house. Sleep still hangs about Kartik in a sweet, charming way. "I've come to apologize for last night and to thank you for helping him," I say.
"Everyone needs help sometimes,"
he says. "Except for you." He doesn't answer. Instead, he hands me something, ill-wrapped in a scrap of cloth.
"Merry Christmas, Miss Doyle."
I am astonished. "What is this?"
"Open it."
Inside the cloth is a small blade the size of a man's thumb. Atop the blade is a small, crude totem of a many-armed man with a buffalo head.
"Meg Sambara,"
Kartik explains.
"The Hindus believe that he offers protection against enemies."
"I thought you had no loyalty to any customs other than the Rakshanas." Embarrassed, Kartik sticks his hands in his pockets, rocks on the heels of his boots.
"It was Amar's."
"You shouldn't part with it, then," I say, trying to give it back. Kartik jumps to avoid the blade.
"Careful. It is small but sharp, and you may have need of it."
I hate to be reminded of my purpose here and now. I shall keep it with me. Thank you. I see there's another small bundle beside him. I would dearly love to ask if it is for Emily, but I can't bring myself to do it.
"Tonight is Miss Worthington's Christmas ball, yes?"
Kartik asks, running fingers through his thick tangle of curls. "Yes," I say.
"What do you do at these balls?"
Kartik asks shyly. "Oh," I sigh, "there is a great deal of smiling and talking of the weather and how lovely everyone looks. There is a light supper and refreshments, and the dancing, of course."
"I've never been to a ball. I don't know how this sort of dancing is done."
"It isn't so difficult to master for a man. The woman has to learn to do it in reverse without stepping on his feet." Kartik lifts his hands into position as if holding an imaginary partner.
"Like this?"
He moves around and around. "A bit slower." "That's it," I say. Kartik adopts a plummy tone.
"I say, lady, what's it? Have you had many callers since arriving in London?"
"Oh, Lord Hoity-toity," I answer, matching his tone. "Why, I've so many cards from the very best people that I've had to put out 2 china bowls to display them all."
"2 bowls, you say?"
2 bowls."
"What an inconvenience for you and your china collection,"
Kartik says, laughing. He is so very lovely when he laughs. "I should like to see you in black jacket and white tie." Kartik stops.
"Do you think I would look the grand gentleman?"
"Yes." He bows to me.
"May I have this dance, Miss Doyle?"
I curtsy. "Oh, but of course, Lord Hoity-toity."
"No,"
he says softly.
"May I have this dance?"
Kartik is asking me to dance. I look about. The house is still shuttered with sleep. Even the sun is hiding behind the grey clouds of its bedclothes. No one's about, but they will be at any moment. My head whispers frantic warnings. Mustn't. Improper. Wrong. What if someone should see us? What about Simon? But my hand makes the decision for me, pushing against the Christmas morning chill till it is joined with his. Your other hand would be at my waist," I say, looking down at our feet.
"Here?"
he says, resting his palm against my hip. "Higher," I croak. His hand finds my waist. "That's it."
"What next?"
We dance," I say, my breath coming out in shallow puffs. He turns me round slowly and awkwardly at first. There is so much space between us that a third person could stand there. I keep my eyes on our feet, stepping so close to each other, leaving patterns in the thin layer of sawdust.
"I think it would be easier if you weren't pulling away,"
he says. "This is how it's done," I answer. He pulls me closer to him, far closer than is appropriate. There is but a whisper of space between his chest and mine. Instinctively, I look around, but there is no one to see us but the horses. Kartik's hand travels from my waist to the small of my back, and I gasp. Turning round and round, his hand warm at my back, his other hand grasping mine, I am suddenly dizzy.
Gemma,
he says, so that I must look up into those magnificent brown eyes.
There is something I need to tell you.
He mustn't say it. It will ruin everything. I break away, my hand going to my stomach to steady myself.
Are you all right?
Kartik says. I smile weakly and nod. The cold, I say. Perhaps I should be getting back.
But first, I need to tell you.
There's so much to do, I say, cutting him off.
Well, then,
he says, sounding hurt.
Don't forget your gift.
He hands me the charm blade. Our hands touch, and for an instant it is as if the world holds its breath. And then his lips, those warm, soft lips, are on mine. It is as if I've been caught in a sudden rain, this feeling. There's a sensation in my stomach like birds flapping as I break away. Please don't.
It's because I am Indian, isn't it?
He asks. Of course not, I say. I don't even think of you as an Indian. He looks as if he's been punched. Then he throws his head back and laughs. I do not know what I've said that is so amusing. He gives me such a hard look, I fear my heart shall break from it.
So you don't even think of me as Indian? Well, that is a tremendous relief.
I didn't mean it like that.
You English never do.
He walks into the stables with me on his heels. I'd never thought of how insulting that might sound. But now, too late, I realize that he is right, that in my heart I have taken for granted that I have been so frank with Kartik, so myself, because he is Indian, and so there could never be anything between us. Anything I could say now would be a lie. I've made such a mess of things. Kartik is gathering his meagre possessions into a rucksack. Where are you going?
To the Rakshana. It is time for me to claim my place, to begin my training and advance.
Please don't go, Kartik. I don't want you to go. It is the truest thing I've said all day.
For that, I am sorry for you.
The muse is coming awake. Servants have sprung into action like the tiny mechanized figures on a cuckoo clock.
You'd best go in. Would you be so kind as to give this to Emily for me?
He says frostily. He hands me the other gift, which opens just enough to reveal the Odyssey.
Tell her I am sorry I cannot continue teaching her to read. She'll have to get someone else.
Kartik, I start. I notice he's left my gift to him from months ago, leaning against the wall. Don't you want to take the cricket bat?
Cricket. Such an English game,
he says.
Goodbye, Miss Doyle.
He hoists the rucksack upon his back and walks away, heading into the weak first light of morning.